Well, it is great to be with you here on November 21st. If you are watching this, that means you made it to November 21st. You are in the future. This is a pre-recorded message that we are glad to share with you as we are on an exodus from our auditorium at our Milton campus, but we will be back to start our Advent series next week called Bloodline. You do not want to miss it. We want to welcome in our Sunbury campus. Sunbury, it's good to see you. Say hello, give a wave. And we are continuing and finishing this week the series on the war of the mind, whole thinking in a broken world. So as we begin, we just want to recap and walk through the pieces that we've already covered in weeks one and weeks two. Week one, we began with the lies that we believe, really talking about what does it look like for us to assess our thinking for lies, for deceits, for off-mission distractions. And then last week, we talked about truths to stand on, shifting from recognizing the lies to replacing them with truth. And this week, we're going to talk about forward thinking. Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for life and life to the full because of Christ Jesus. God, would you move in these moments? Would you guide each one of our hearts? Because your word is alive and active, that you would accomplish everything you wish as we walk forward in obedience, as we continue the series in the War on the Mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This week we're talking about forward thinking. Whole thinking leads to full living. Whole thinking leads to full living. If you think about John 10:10 that we looked at in the first week, John 10:10 talks about the thief, the enemy, coming to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life, and not just any kind of life, or as Eugene Peterson puts it, I believe, a ho-hum life, but life to the full, to the brim. We are going to talk about whole thinking leading to full living, and as we are moving into the future on November 21st, talking about forward thinking, let's take a step back. We're going to go to the Old Testament and look at an example in Joshua. So follow along wherever you're at. You can find this real quick. Push for our Bible app. You can find all the notes. You can take them and it will save those for you. We're going to look at Joshua, an Old Testament example. And as we talk about forward thinking, the story of Joshua is one that God had brought to my mind that really stuck with me. Because there was this recurring theme, this recurring phrase that came up in the life of Joshua. And I believe God gave him an opportunity to work through the war, the battle of the mind. And we're going to see that here. First, let's take a look at Numbers chapter 14, starting at verse 6 through 8. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be," what? "Afraid of the people of the land, because we will," not might, "will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Quick backstory. If you don't know what was happening in the life of Joshua up to this point, Joshua was a part of the children of Israel who, ironically on Exodus Sunday, were those who were led out of Egypt through the Exodus, and they were on their way to the promised land, the land that God had said, "I have set for you." When God had set that land apart for them, delivering them from Egypt and to the promised land, they were on their way, and Moses, who was the leader of the Israelites, had chosen one person from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, Joshua being one of them. He and Caleb were two of those spies who were there for 40 days. Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of 12, were the only ones who looked forward in faith based upon God's promise. And what we just read came in a recount after they had visited the promised land, seeking it out and seeing what they were going to face. Now, God had already promised that they would be in the promised land if they would walk and move obediently, but they weren't there yet. And so as the people are assessing and the spies are responding to what they saw and witnessed, 10 out of 12 spies said, "We can't go. They're too big for us." I wish I had grapes for you all to eat and munch on as we're walking through the message this morning. 12 of them saw the same thing. 2 of them responded in faith. 12 of them had a choice of how they would move forward and respond to what they saw and filter their thoughts. 2 of them chose faith. So we see that Joshua tore his clothes in disgust, saying, "Guys, where's your trust? Where's your faith? Do you not believe the word of the Lord that he will deliver us? Their strength is gone. We're going to devour them. So don't be afraid." And here Joshua, Moses' assistant, responds in faith. But because the sentiment and the census was, "We can't go," which was true, because on their own strength they couldn't, but in faith God would deliver them. And so as we look at the example here, starting out with Joshua, for 40 years as discipline for their disobedience, a whole generation missed out and never saw the promised land. 10 people's misguided thinking, poor response, caused an entire generation to not witness the good that God had planned for them. Makes you think a little bit more deeply about the effect of our thoughts. Let's flash forward 40 years to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Moses, to the Israelites, communicates that Joshua will lead them. Moses got to see it, but didn't get to go in. So Moses says, "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." Then, just moments later, Moses speaks those same words directly to Joshua. So he says it corporately, and then he speaks it specifically. So you move from a corporate awareness of the word to a specific and personal basis on the word. Then God speaks those words to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. "Be strong and courageous." So the Israelites, 40 years later, and we don't know the specific age of Joshua, but likely he could have been around in his 80s when these words are being spoken. "Be strong and courageous." So as they get ready to move into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, "Be strong and courageous." They knew the opposition. They knew the enemy. They knew what they were up against. But their focus didn't remain there. Their focus was on the Lord and his promises and that he is good. "Be strong and very courageous," it says. And then in verse 1, chapter 18, the people remind Joshua. They say to him, "Be strong and courageous and do what you think is good." And later, Joshua then speaks it to the people. So you see, it's interesting when the word of God is at the core of what we do, at the core of how we operate and how we think, God moves in and among us because his word is alive and active. As we look at it now, as you read it in your homes, as you open the word in the well, in the youth center at our Sunbury campus, you are holding something that is living. You are holding the word of God, which speaks Christ to us. So be strong and courageous. Joshua's identity was not in himself, but was in God's capability. And here's something to think about. Your feet follow your focus. Your faith reflects your focus, and vice versa. Your feet follow your focus. I learned how to ski when I was in fourth grade, and they tell you to shift your hips while looking down the hill. I eventually learned to do it after getting a lot of snow in my gloves and everything. But your focus directs where you go. So if you are focused, if we are focused on the mire that we're stuck in, we're missing out, like we talked about last week, on the truths that God wants to lead us in. So metaphorically speaking, the feet spiritually follow our focus. Is our focus on the lies? Is our focus on our despair? Or is our focus on the truth which sets us free? Because that reflects our faith. Our thinking reflects our focus, and our focus reflects our faith. So before we move forward and think about Joshua, I wonder, who's your Moses? Who's your mentor? Who's the person that follows the Lord that you see their example in, that you can ask questions of, and they can speak into your life? If you don't have one, seek one out. If you don't have one, pray about finding a mentor and say, I'd love to take you out for coffee. You pay for it, and you bring questions. Ask them about their faith. Ask them about following the Lord. Who's your Moses? Joshua, and remember, Caleb, were the ones who responded in faith. Who's your Caleb? Who's the accountability partner that you can go to and be vulnerable with? Because really, we are only as strong as we are vulnerable. And if we're not vulnerable, there are walls in our lives that are hiding authenticity. And so who is the Caleb that you can go to? Who are you a Caleb for? Number three, how does your thinking influence your living? Because it does. Take a look at this verse. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set. Think about your radio. You go in your car, you push the one button until it beeps, and you have number one set to a station. Have their minds set on what the flesh desires, those things that are a part of the sinful nature that God wants to root out of us. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Not focusing on the lies, focusing on the truth. The Spirit desires truth in our lives. The mind governed, led, operated by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. And as we get to the end of walking through the battle in our mind, the war in our mind, the verses that we read at the start of the service are a pinnacle hinge pin for us to not lose sight of. If we look at the past year has been one of isolation, one of anxiety, one of question, one of confusion, one of what's next, one where we need to walk by faith and not by sight in a new and deepening way. And yet, the word of the Lord remains true and steadfast. Do not be anxious about anything. And you say, well, is that possible? Read on. But in every situation, no matter what the day holds, no matter what you face, no matter what conversation you have, no matter who you come into contact with, no matter what you encounter, God already knew it. He went ahead of Joshua, and yet he was with him at the same time. He goes ahead of you, and he's with you at the same time. In every situation, by prayer, someone might say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to God and be honest. He hears you and knows you. He rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Talk to him where you're at by prayer and petition. What is a petition? A petition is saying, Lord, you know my need, but I bring it before you. Lord, you know that I brought this before you yesterday or however long it took, but I bring this before you again. I petition you, Lord. With November 21st, looking into Thursday, with thanksgiving. It's not just a day, it's a lifestyle. With thanksgiving, present. Present your requests to God. Interestingly enough, as we've been talking about this, where do our requests go? Where do our frustrations go? Where do our anxieties go? Where do the things that could bring us down go? They go to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, which goes beyond all understanding, there's no way to explain it other than that was God, will guard, back to week one, the armor of God. He will guard your heart and your what? Mind in Christ Jesus. He will guard it. It's not a maybe. It's not a, well, if it's sunny, it'll happen. Someone said to me, prayer has the best Wi-Fi signal connection of any network, which is true. Well, guard your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything, Paul kind of sums it up, if I missed anything, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Quick pause. Assess your thoughts from this morning. God knows them. This is a moment to just think about what we thought about. Was it excellent? Was it praiseworthy? Was it pure? Was it noble? Was it right? And if not, this is a moment to shift. This is a moment to adjust. Think about such things so that we can experience God's peace. Real quick, note the difference between, because I know as we go through this series, the thought was kind of in my mind, hearing the question that might be in yours. Note the difference between position and performance. You say, well, Mike, this is hard. I don't know if I can do this. And if any of us thought that, we'd be right, because on our own strength, we cannot. But by his strength, he will guide us. We talked about this and dive deep after week one. And the idea is, when you place your faith in Christ Jesus, your position is automatically changed. The Father looks at you and sees the blood of Christ covering you. You're saved. Your position is changed. While at the same time, your performance, meaning our conduct, our behavior, the way that we respond in situations, is in process. The technical term is progressive sanctification. Whole thinking in a broken world. Holy thinking in a broken world. Our performance, meaning the way God's guiding us, is in process. Oh, shouldn't have swore there. Oh, shouldn't have, you know. And the Holy Spirit will guide our thinking to recognize moments where he wants to redirect and guide us. Our position, note the difference between position and performance. And imagine what could have went through Joshua and Caleb's mind. Imagine over those 40 years, the focus that it took on the promise of the promised land. They could have been in frustration, and maybe they were. Scripture doesn't speak to that with the other 10. Or think about the faith in Hebrews 11. Some did not see the fruit of their faith. Some lived without seeing the promise yet fulfilled. And at the same time, they clung fast to say, God, I know that you are good. Even if you don't deliver us from whatever the situation was, we know that you're faithful. Because who can know the mind of God? But in the midst of it, focusing on the promise, having the faith to exercise that strength and the focus on that. God strengthened Joshua and Caleb beyond their situation and their circumstance. This can and will take time. It takes discipline. Or as Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but he's given you his spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind or self-discipline. It makes me think about what psychologists say, and there's a lot of research on ruts. We can get in ruts. They say it takes about 21 days, and this series has been about 21 days, to create a habit. And when we think about habits, it makes me think about records. What records are playing in your mind? Week one, we looked at the aspect that there can be things in our past, our experience, that influence the thinking we have today, which is very true. So there might be some unique challenges to your situation that's different from another's. The point is not the difference or comparison, but the point is, how do we respond in the midst of the challenges and recognizing the records that are playing? And if it is not of our Heavenly Father, if we're not recognizing the lie, replacing it with truth, we can be stuck in a rut. The way that a record works is there are really tiny, not microscopic, ruts. And when a needle goes on top of that record, it will play and stay in the track. And you've heard of broken records. It just keeps repeating, repeating, repeating. And maybe over this series you thought, well, Mike, that's been me. How do I get out of that rut? How do I get out of that repeating? How do I step forward? We recognize the lie, we replace it with truth, and we walk forward thinking. And so I wonder, what's played in your mind? Well, George Beverly Shea sings a song. I want to let you know a little bit about my process. Several years ago, speaking of broken records, several years ago, my focus was off, and I went to counseling for about a month, once a month for about a year. And my focus was on people, their thoughts, their likes, their dislikes. It made me distracted. It made me discouraged. And I felt defeated. And in that time, the record began to shift, because God guided me to His truth. And I came across a process that I employed based on recognizing the lie, replacing it with truth, and walking forward. And you'll see in your outline, whether you're on the Bible app or you have paper copies in the Well, Sunbury campus, or the Youth Center, I have questions for you. And Pastor Ryan's going to close out and talk with you through these. These are the ones that God brought to my mind. I had to stop living and focusing on people. I had to allow God to remind me of Galatians 1:10, that I do not exist to please people, but to accomplish the will of my Heavenly Father. And so in this process, God began to guide me to phrases based upon Scripture, and only because of who Jesus is, who He was making me then to be. So I typed these up, I printed these out, I hung them in my office, I hung them in our bedroom, and I would get up and I would repeat them. Why? Because I needed to verbalize. Christ said to the enemy, "It is written." He needed in that moment to speak the truth against the potential defeat that was before him. And God guided me to this process that, based on Scripture, to know my identity is in Christ. And they read like this: I am a child of the King and servant of the Most High. I exist to serve my Lord and bring glory to Jesus Christ. I will lay down my life for my wife, building Jill up as a woman of God, Ephesians chapter 5. I will nurture my children in a love for Christ and display the fruit of the Spirit and heart after God to them, Deuteronomy 6. God has given me breath in my lungs and purpose in this day. I love people because Jesus loves me. There is a need in every life for Him to meet, and I will look for how He wants for me to be a part of His work. God's love lives in me, so I will choose to not be easily offended. Christ in me is stronger than the world around me or the wrong desires in me. I love because He first loved me. I am called and equipped to go after the righteous desires God puts in my heart. I am not a people pleaser because I answer to God first and seek to please Him. I have authority over the enemy. I have the mind of Christ. I have everything I need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. I am a new creation. I have eternal life, which is knowing God. Even when others remind me of my past, I will not let it limit my future. I will act in faith, not stand in fear. And the Holy Spirit is guiding my life each day to look more like Jesus. These are statements that are only true because of Christ's work. And the great thing is that they are true for you also. So as we wrap up the war in the mind, my encouragement to you as brothers and sisters in Christ would be to walk through these steps at the end of your outline. Recapping from week one, what lie has been creeping into your thinking, your speech, or your acts? As the band comes up, we're going to respond. And I want you to think about what tools from the Word will strengthen you within the war of the mind. So first, if you haven't, fill out lies that have been creeping into your thinking, into your speech, into your acts. For example, I'm worried about, fill in the blank. Do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worry of its own. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Or maybe you're feeling defeated. Replace that with Scripture. What statements will guide your thinking? Example number one. Here's Scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Same verse from the New Living Translation. Or example number two, if you feel defeated, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. You're not defeated. You're an overcomer. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Replace the lies with truth. The truth will set you free. And then I would encourage you to take it a step further. It was beneficial for me, and I encourage you because I believe it will be beneficial for you. You've been going through a battle of the mind and not sure how to take the next step. You do not have to run or do this to accomplish victory. You already have victory in Christ. And because of who He is and who He is making you to be, you can use those scriptures to express personally, I choose gratitude over worry. God has given me more to thank Him for than to worry about. Or in Christ, I am an overcomer. What lies have you believed? What truths does God want to replace them with? And how will you walk forward in faith based on His word, which is good, based on His will, which is pleasing and perfect, to speak directly to your heart so that you can have whole thinking in a broken world, shining like lights in the darkness.
Welcome everyone to Christ Wesleyan Church. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and we hope that through this service you were able to experience the presence of God in a unique and fresh way today. I'm Pastor Kyle Roberts, the pastor of spiritual formation here at Christ Wesleyan.
And I'm Caleb Swartz, pastor of counseling ministry. So glad you're joining us today.
So this was our final message in the War of the Mind. And I know for me personally, this has been a really great series to learn more about how we can deal with some of the mental health struggles that we have from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so much more, because this isn't just addressing some of the deeper and darker struggles that we may have, but it's really just if we can capture the principles that Pastor Mike shared with us, my goodness, we can create in ourselves, and God can create in us a mind and a body and a soul that are just so strong and capable and able to accomplish and achieve so much more for Him. And that's what I get excited about. It's like the potential for growth is just unlimited here. And that's what I've appreciated about this series especially.
Mm-hmm. It's been so great to look at the holistic individual that God has created us to be. Everything in balance with one another. Kind of like what you've talked about in your devotionals as well with Pastor Mike and such.
Yeah. So as you guys have listened to today's final message, we really hope that you're encouraged. You go home and you really think through some of this and be asking God, you know, what are you calling me to do differently as a result of what I've heard here today? And also, we just want to make you aware of what's coming up here at CWC. Food pantry Christmas donations are being accepted now, so you can go ahead and either give online or here on campus, and just denote that it's for Food Pantry Christmas, and they'll make sure that gets sent to the correct funding.
We also have our Christmas blessing that is currently going on. We have a need for stories of families in need in our community, people that aren't connected with Christ Wesleyan Church, but that we want to bless with a gift of a service or something from a small business of up to $1,000. So if you know a family that's in need of, say, a car repair, or they are out of food and are need in some food, we will work with small businesses here in the area to be able to provide for that need, so that way we can support them as well as these families. We have a couple stories that have already come in from this past Sunday, which is amazing. But keep reaching out to those who may not know Christ in the midst of your community. See how we as a church can really bless them in the midst of it.
And I'd like to say also, like, please consider giving some of your finances towards this project. We've talked to a number of you, and you're really excited about the impact that this is going to have and how it supports our local community. So we'd love to have your financial support as we walk through this Christmas blessing season.
It really makes a huge difference what you give and how we're serving in the midst of the community. So thank you for participating in that, and continue to connect with those people and those stories in the meantime. Mm-hmm. We also have our Christmas Encounter worship service that's coming up on December 10th at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. That'll be a great time to come together with one another, to worship the one true God, to connect with one another, and to just hear some, I'm pretty sure there's going to be awesome Trans-Siberian Orchestra music that's coming.
Oh yeah, there definitely is.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. So if you'd love to join us there, that is December 10th at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. And this week, there is not going to be any midweek activities because it is Thanksgiving week. So if you come, all the doors will be locked.
But with the exception of divorce care. Divorce care does continue to meet on Wednesday nights. Okay. So they will be available for you all.
So just to let you know, that's what's going on with our midweek ministries. We will be resuming the majority of midweek with Kids Way and some of our other groups on January 5th. But some other groups like Dive Deep Live will be returning on December 8th. And then other groups such as Divorce Care and our Men's Bible Study will continue through the month of December.
So the best thing you can do if you want to be in the know is talk to this guy right here, and he'll make sure that you have all the information that you need. In addition, our weekly devotionals, that's going to be coming up, the final installment for this current series. And we invite you to jump in on that. It's going to be available on YouTube and as well as CWC.life. So you can catch up with them there. If you're a group leader, you can download the leader guide and be able to take it just a little step deeper. It provides some guidance to following up on the devotional and the series and the sermon from the weekend. So we encourage you to jump into that. We are so glad that you've joined us today. If you're hearing all this and wondering, how do I keep track of it all? Please check out CWC.life, where you can find all that information and more. We hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving week.